it does just seem kind of crazy.
Kyle Higashioka, did he do it again? He did it again. Higgy goes Oppo, his second home run of the day, his seventh of the spring, and the Yankees are in double digits. It's 10-0.
Hi, this is Emily Nyman, and you're listening to Breaking Balls. Welcome to episode 99 of Breaking Balls. I'm your host, Emily Nyman. I'm joined by my co-host, John Snyder. You can find us on Twitter at BreakBallsPod, or if you're feeling brassy, give the Breaking Balls hotline a call, 631-820-7377. Looks like we made it. We made it. It is opening day eve. That's the night, you guys know we record on Wednesday night, so... I was just about to try to do like a parody of The Night Before Christmas, but then I realized I don't know that poem good enough to even start to do that live.
'Twas the night before opening day and all through the podcast. Save me, please.
I mean, I'm just really fucking excited. Every year the excitement like sneaks up on me. I think that I know how excited I'm going to be and what it's going to feel like to like be right there when opening day is like right here. But every year I'm like, holy shit, I'm way more excited than I ever thought I would be.
Listen, I don't know how you expect me to talk about baseball right now when the Knicks and Nets are tied at 87 in the fourth, except I'm totally going to, because I'm really sick of seeing the Nets floundering. Yeah, dude, it's here. And I mean, I give you a lot of credit, Emily, because you are very excited for opening day, despite the fact that your team's not playing tomorrow anymore.
Wah, wah. I know, that kind of sucks, but to be honest, my birthday is on Friday. Can we get a little cha-ching sound? Because this is only the first time I'm mentioning it in the episode. Probably will be more.
No, I don't know how to do that. Maybe DJ Bingington could help you out.
Okally dokally.
The Yankees have a losing record on my birthday.
Let's just get that. You said it, because I was going to.
And that's since the year I was born, 1986. They are, fuck, I did a whole spreadsheet today when I was at work and I posted on Twitter and I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it was, they were 12 and 16 and the last like 10 years in particular, holy shit, they had a ton of L's. So I'm really hoping that they're going to bounce back on April 8th and this is going to be the year that they're actually going to win one for me, but it's baseball, Susan, so who the fuck knows?
Well, your birthday has never been opening day before, right? It's too late into April.
Surprisingly, it was a few times.
Was it really?
In like the 90s, yeah. Well, what was weird is that there was like, I don't know, maybe like 6 years or so, six seasons where they didn't play on April 8th. They had an off day or whatever.
Okay.
But there was a year or two where opening day was like April 23rd. Like I looked at it when I was looking at the schedule from those years, I should have wrote it down. I was like, what the hell? Like it wasn't anything special. I don't think there was any lockouts or anything. So like what the fuck happened?
It wasn't like 95. I think that started like slightly late.
It might've been, but I can't remember now, but it was crazy.
Okay. Well, listen, the more important point, I can't speak for you Yankee fans, but for us Mets fans, opening day is always fun because it's the one day of the year that we usually win. Beyond that, all bets are off, but we do well on opening day, so I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, you guys have like a over 700 win percentage on
opening day. Yeah, I don't
have
it in front of me because, of course, I don't. But no, I think it's the best in baseball on opening day.
I mean, April is usually the month for the Mets. Like, they usually have a very good April, so...
So with the absolute shit show that we have going on right now, it bodes well. We're going to win the World Series.
I mean, saying it without saying it, but things being turned on their head sometimes can work out for an organization.
It's our only hope at this point. So let's go down the litany here. First and foremost, Jacob DeGrom is hurt again. So he has a stress reaction in his shoulder, which, as I understand it, is the precursor to a stress fracture. So they're trying to avoid that. So he's shut down for at least a month. The way that Buck was talking was almost like he's going to be a mid-season addition, which I did not care for at all. Saying like, oh, you got the trade deadline. Instead, you get Jacob DeGrom. Didn't we play that game last year? I feel like we played that game last year when he got hurt, and it was not fun. So yeah, I mean, I know it's his job. He's got to try and put a positive spin on it. There's no positive spin to the best pitcher in baseball being hurt and not being able to start opening day. So of course, we go to the next logical option, Max Scherzer. except his hamstring is hurt, so he's not starting opening day either. I know. The one silver lining with that is apparently it was not something that was hurting him while throwing. It was just like while he was running, which obviously is still important. That would impact his ability to field his position. So anyway, his bullpen on Tuesday apparently went well, so he's slotted in for game two, which... After all that, like, oh, it's on Apple TV, we're not going to see him. Oh, wait, no, DeGrom's hurt. He's going to pitch opening day. Oh, wait, no, Scherzer's hurt too. He's not pitching opening day. So we're right back to not seeing Scherzer pitch on SNY. It's going to be on Apple TV. So that leaves
us... Hey, listen, it could be worse. It could be Tyler McGill.
Getting hurt or starting opening day, because the second one is happening. That's where we are. You know, what was funny too was like, I saw just the Twitter update is like, you know, Mets opening day has been postponed. And I'm like, oh, wait, Scherzer to 7 p.m. Like, oh, nope, still McGill. Okay.
It is kind of sweet that Scherzer is going to be making his Mets debut in Nationals Park. Yeah. Like they're advertising his start in Washington, D.C. big time, which they should. I mean, their team stinks with the exception of Juan Soto. So they should be pushing ads being like, hey, the former players you used to love that we traded away are coming back.
Max Scherzer is still the best reason to go watch the Nationals, even when he's not on the team anymore.
So the Yankees, their opening day, as we mentioned, is pushed to Friday.
Oh, no. You thought I was done with Mets injuries? Hell no. Nimmo has a stiff neck. Thank God we kept Dom, right? Sorry, go on to the Yankees. I'm frustrated.
I actually brought that up as just a segue because I forgot to mention in my excitement of the opening. This is our last recording on a Wednesday night. This has been our off-season recording schedule. Now that we are going to be in season as of next week, episode 100, one double bagel... We will be recording on Tuesday nights, releasing on Thursdays. So keep that in mind because we want our episodes to be fresh. Last year, we realized that with this current schedule where we don't release until Saturday and we wait a few days, too much happens. There's too many games. And especially in the dog days of summer, it just becomes like, all right, this is all mundane stuff. But now we're talking about mundane stuff from fucking 5 days ago that no one cares about anymore. So we had to pick up the pace.
I mean, the behind the scenes thing is that normally during the off season, we give ourselves an extra day in between planning and recording just because, you know, we're pulling it all out of our ass in real time. Now it's like if we wait that long, everything we talked about on Monday is irrelevant by Wednesday. So we got to keep it brief.
That is correct.
There was some New York action in the past few days. Rarely do trades between the Mets and the Yankees.
Yes, I have the Nets and the Knicks game on. Jesus.
Yeah. Listen, I thought I made it clear that basketball is dead to me now that the three games I watched in the NCAA tournament are over. It's baseball season, baby. So we had some New York on New York action. Rarely do the Yankees and the Mets make trades with each other, but they made an exception. And this week, the Yankees traded left-hand pitcher Jolie Rodriguez to the Mets in return for Miguel Castro, right-handed pitcher. Both relievers. And listen... Jolie Rodriguez was great for the Yankees. I think that he's going to be a good addition to your pitching staff, considering I think he's the only lefty you guys now have on staff.
Right, that's what it was. Righty for a lefty, straight up. Pretty even swap, too.
And Castro, last year, he was a clear spider tack merchant. He was unreal, and then after that got banned, he had a lot of trouble with his command. But Matt Blake, the Yankees pitching coach, is a fucking
spider
tack
distributor. Wait, what?
A spider tack distributor. Just named number one in this region.
Matt Blake is, of the year. Sorry.
Matt Blake is unreal. The Yankees, they have been doing wonders with pitchers. They're projected to have one of the top two pitching staffs in the entire league this year. Pitching kept them in it last year. So I just see good things for Miguel. He's got a lot of raw talent. And I think someone like Matt Blake can really help him with his command and he'll become somebody out of that pen.
And if I could just say something about Jolie Rodriguez, I don't know anything about him except that he's a lefty. That's all I had to say about that. What was funny, though, was...
He was on my team last year, the Yankees, and I don't know anything about him besides he's a lefty.
Oh, that's a glowing recommendation. Thank you, Emily.
I mean, well, nothing bad that I can remember, so that should be good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, thanks. Just pile it on. No, so what was funny was the first picture that we saw of Castro in a Yankees uniform. The only way I could tell it was Miguel Castro was he still had a blue and orange glove because they did what they always do. They massacred my boy.
I know, yeah.
Cut his dreads off, cut his beard off. It's like, oh, come on, man. It's so much personality.
It's the worst fucking rule in sports. And I say that very confidently. In all of sports, it is the worst rule. And I honestly cannot fucking wait for the day that that thing just is no longer. I'm like, that thing, I was going to say hits the road, but that doesn't make sense given the context.
Now, do you think, brief aside, do you think that it's going to be the Yankees dropping the rule first or a player getting traded to the Yankees and refusing to do it first?
You know, that's a good question. I think that it's going to be the players are going to collectively try to force the Yankees to do so. And I don't mean like the Players Association. I mean like the players on the Yankees, that the Yankees won't do it unless they're pushed to. And it's going to take more than just one guy refusing to, because then they'll just fine him. And that's like what they do. When players break rules, they just fine them. So you could show up with a beard, but it'll cost you X amount per day that you show up with that beard.
Right.
So I imagine like if the whole team shows up every day, like nothing these teams hate more. Oh, wait, I was going to say nothing these teams hate more than losing money, but they would get money because they're fining the players. They're not giving them money. Listen, I got opening day brain over here, so things are going a little crazy. And speaking of going crazy, the Cardinals signed Albert Pujols to a 1-year deal. He's coming home. He says he's going to retire after this year. He's got 21 home runs to 700. Do they put him in the starting lineup? Do they trot Pujols out there?
Yes, they do. Absolutely. The Cardinals were going nowhere this year. The second that they signed Pujols, it was like, okay, this is what it is. They are not trying to make the playoffs. They are trying to sell some tickets. Like you said, trot Pujols around the league one more time, do the farewell tour. This is the year of Pujols for the Cardinals. It is all about him. I really don't think that, I mean, it's not a stretch to say, I don't think they're taking this season seriously. I really don't.
I mean, he was batting fifth in their spring training lineup the other day. Now, granted, it's spring training, but he's 42 years old. And I say that as someone who's about to turn 36 because my birthday is on Friday. And allegedly 42. There's some rumors that maybe his birth certificate isn't what it actually says and he's maybe a little bit older. That was like a whole scandal, supposedly. But hey, if the Cardinals want to go this route, God bless them, I guess. Not to beat a dead horse, but we all know that the AL East is absolutely stacked. There's going to be basically all teams in the mix with the exception of the Orioles. But the Red Sox just took a big hit, and I don't know how they're going to recover from this. Chris Sale, their ace, just went on the 60-day IL with a cracked rib. And I mean, that is fucking brutal. Their pitching staff kind of sucks. I mean, they have Evaldi still, but not having Sale and not for the foreseeable future, I don't know how they recover.
In a division with the Blue Jays and the Yankees, they're cooked.
And the Rays.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're done. They're donezo.
I mean, I said that last year, I'm pretty sure. Anyone can go back and rewind the tape on episode before the season last year, and I probably said the Red Sox were cooked, and they won 92 games, and they beat the Yankees in the fucking playoffs. So
honestly, after last year's experience, you all remember this, I picked the Twins and got humiliated by the Twins. So I've let go. I don't care about, you know, predictions. We're going to do ours later. Okay, great. I'm just going to, Red Sox going to suck. I'm probably wrong. I'm over it. I don't care. I've realized I'm bad at this. I've accepted it, Emily.
Well, to be fair, no one is good at this. Okay, because anyone that nails a prediction, it's either an obvious one, a team that's supposed to win, or it's lucky. No one is like crunching the numbers and able to figure out that the Braves were going to win the World Series after, you know, when there were 80 wins and whatever last year. So anyone who like says that they're good at it, they're just lucky, in my opinion. I think that predictions are something, that's the whole nature of it, right?
I mean, it has to. I mean, nothing exemplifies that more. We just finished up with March Madness. There's somebody out there every year that has a perfect bracket. Do it twice, though. Go ahead. I dare you. Do it twice. You can't. You're fucking lucky.
Speaking of brackets, so to dip into basketball again, the NCAA tournament, I fill out a bracket every year. My office does like a little pool. There's only like four or five of us that do it. 2 years in a row, I've picked Gonzaga to win, and I'm never picking them again. They're cursed. They're not going to win shit. But of course, next year, I'm not going to pick them even if they're the number one seed, and they will win. But my entire bracket was basically done from like the first day. Like there was no chance of me winning. One side was completely highlighted red because I got like every pick wrong because I basically just followed the seeding, and it fucking blew up in my face. So even the people who see these tournaments aren't doing a good job of predicting.
That's what I almost, because I don't follow college basketball at all, that's what I always do. My Final Four is always the 4-1 seeds, and then it's just like, well, they have a cooler mascot. Well, they haven't won in a while. Like, I have no basis on which to do this. Plus, not for nothing, I mean, you keep picking Gonzaga. It's just like, you picked the wrong small Catholic school to make it. It's like St. Peter's. Who saw that coming?
I know.
And that's all the basketball talk for 2022. Hope you had fun.
Seriously, that is the most technical basketball conversation I've ever had in my life. I hate to even bring this up, but we kind of have no choice. I can't gloss over it. Carlos Beltran, as we had
you
mentioned.
You hate to bring it up? That's fine. I'm fine with this.
Carlos Beltran is now a commentator on the Yes Network, which, whatever. I love Beltran. That's great. I think it's great. The Yes Network felt the need to do some canned interview with Michael Kay and Carlos Beltran where he, like, talked about the 2017 Astros and, yeah, we cheated and it wasn't right and yada yada. It was such a nothing burger. And just like, why are they harping on this? I get that he's a commentator and there are maybe some subsets of fans that like need to hear this, the kind of fans that like want players to be fucking raked over the coals in the post game. Like, what the fuck? Just get over it already. It's over. It was 5 years ago. Move on.
Honestly, dude, it's more of the fan base than you think. Ugh. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're a little disconnected from that because we try to like, you know, keep it at least a little rational and objective and all that stuff over here. But they film and produce these segments for a reason, right? Because they think it's going to get a response. So it has to be that a large enough percentage of the Yankee fandom is still torn up about this. And their first reaction to seeing Beltran as an analyst was not like, oh, you know, former Yankee, Carlos Beltran. It was like, fucking Houston Astro cheater, Carlos Beltran in the Yankee booth, sullying it with his presence, bah, bah, bah. So, and that was, I saw somebody like curated some like little like clips from it. And that was all, I didn't actually, you know, watch the whole interview or read the whole interview, but just the clips that I, it was painful, man. Just like, well, Michael, yes, I do think we were wrong. And bah, bah, bah. If
but
I could
no
please
one told
kiss
us
your
not
boots,
to do
sir,
it.
May I have another? Bah, 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 bah. Like, oh, spare me.
And then to add insult to injury, The Athletic interviewed Brian Cashman, who he's not one for candid interviews. You know, he's pretty buttoned up usually. He chose this interview days before opening day to basically complain about the 2017 Astros and how he feels it's unfair that the Yankees and he get criticized for no championships because of the Astros cheating in 2017. First of all, that fucking season was a gift for the Yankees. No one thought that they were going to do shit, let alone go to game 7 of the ALCS. So for him to be like, that was a championship, you did not build that team to be right. A championship team. Fucking Todd fucking Frazier was on that team, okay? That was not a championship team. They came close, but they weren't. And can we talk about the fact that he's assuming that that team would have just beaten the Dodgers? Because he's like, oh, they took that World Series from us. Okay, so we're just going to roll over the Dodgers, who were fucking stacked that year, too?
Right, yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to make. It's like, listen, it's one thing if you got to the World Series and you feel like you were robbed of a legitimate chance. Okay, fine. It's the same kind of thing where it's like, and I'm certainly guilty of this, right? Like, because I always harp on, actually, it's funny. I was going to bring up Beltran. It's like, just to rewind, like, if he became an analyst for SNY and they made him do some canned interview with Howie Rose about, like, so that curveball by Adam Wainwright that ended the 2006 NLCS, we'd like to give you an opportunity to formally apologize to the Mets fans. It's like that kind of shit, right? But it's the same thing where it's like, you know, the Mets lost to the Cardinals and then the Cardinals went on to absolutely steamroll the Tigers. And I'm convinced to this day that the Mets would have steamrolled the Tigers as well had they gotten through. But you can't count on that. You know what I mean? You can't like rest your entire argument on like, oh, we had gotten that pennant. It was a sure thing. No, it's not. It's the World Series. It's never a sure thing. You know, I mean, you look even, I'm keeping it with the Mets. I'm sorry, Em. But you look like 2015, the way that we steamrolled the Cubs and then just shit the bed against the Royals. You wouldn't have predicted that. You know, if you had just seen the NLCS, you'd be like, oh, Mets going to sweep the World Series. You never know. And it's so presumptive of Cashman and it's just so insecure that like, well, you know, you say that we don't have a title. Yeah, you don't since 2009. No, you don't.
And also, the Yankees only scored like 4 runs at home in the 4 games
yes,
at home. Like,
thank you.
They didn't hit and they didn't score any runs. So how did the Astros cheating in Houston keep the Yankees from scoring runs at their own fucking stadium. Like, give me a break.
And again, the unfortunately seemingly large segment of fans that this is for, that this is appealing to, they're not interested in the critical thinking aspect of this. You know what I mean? They're not interested in being rational about it and thinking in terms of like, yeah, well, they didn't score. It's like, ah, but they cheated. It doesn't matter. They cheated. Like, okay. But this is kind of one of the first seasons in recent memory where you could almost say that the Yankees and Mets expectations are flipped a little bit. You know, like the Mets are, they're coming in. It's like, we're kind of supposed to win the division if everything comes together. Versus the Yankees, you guys really are maybe not the division favorites right now, but I don't necessarily hate that as a fan. I don't know how you feel about that. Maybe that's just me, like, from years of being a Mets fan, just being like, I don't mind being the underdog. It's kind of my my stasis point. It's where I live. But as a Yankee fan, you can't hate it, right?
No, I'm into it. And listen, the Yankees are an underdog in the sense that, like, the 2018 Red Sox tried to sell themselves as underdogs. Like, they have the third highest payroll in the league. They should win over 92 games, certainly more than they did last year. But the division is just so fucking stacked and competitive that the Blue Jays, the players, their fans, they are all in on winning the division. And they're telling us that they're going to. I mean, Vladdy a week or two ago was quoted as saying that last year was a trailer and this year is the movie that everyone's going to see. And it's like, hey, Blue Jays, you guys want that pressure? You want to be labeled as the division winners on day one? Be my fucking guest, because it is a long season. And when you're labeled as a division winner on day one, you are on the edge of your seat as a fan every fucking game, because you know that everyone is just looking at you, waiting for you to fucking trip up and lose. And it can make the experience as a fan very stressful and at times not fun at all, especially if the team underperforms. So I hope for Blue Jays' sake, well, not really. I hope that they do perform and fall on their face. But last year when the Yankees did that shit, it was fucking awful. And all of you listening know, because you listen to our podcast every week. And it was painful.
And I think you could say that the exact opposite is true of the Mets this season, with all these lofty expectations, the great offseason we had, the new manager, yada, yada, yada. And the season hasn't even started and half our starting rotation is hurt. So it's like, in a regular season, it's just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, we'll see. We'll get through it. Now it's like, shit, some people were saying this was supposed to be the year and it's already fucking derailed. It feels way worse than normal.
Well, to be fair, and I think it was Jerry Blevins who said this, it sucks that DeGrom is hurt. Obviously, he's the GOAT. He's that dude. He's an automatic W on the mound. But if the team's future is resting on one guy, then this isn't the year.
Yes.
And it's not. The Mets have a lot going for them. So I think that the franchise has pushed so heavily into one guy because that was the only shining light for so many years.
For a while, yeah.
So now that he's hurt, it's tough to get out of that psyche because they haven't proven that they can yet. But soon, if the Mets perform well, then it's like, all right, well, we're okay without DeGrom. I mean, and then adding him into the mix will fucking make them unreal.
It's literally why we got Scherzer, you know? So it does, and thank God Scherzer is able to pitch, because that would have been really rough if it was both of them. But yeah, with DeGrom out, it's like, hey, nothing can replace him, but it's a hell of a lot easier to swallow when you got Max Scherzer to fill in. So speaking of the Yankees as underdogs, there's a specific Yankee that was viewed as something of an underdog. Something significant transpired this past offseason that shook up the Yankees roster, seemingly for the worse, but was it?
Breaking Balls presents Spring Training Heroes.
Spring Training Heroes.
Today we salute you, Yankees catcher Kyle Higashioka.
Yankees catcher Kyle Higashioka!
Higgy debuted in 2017 and he had hopes to crack the starting lineup, but instead spent 5 years living in the shadow of the Kraken.
They called him the Sanchez!
Then on March 13th, 2022, the Kraken was sent packing to the Twins, along with the Yankees' hopes to have an offensive threat behind the plate.
Defensive specialist!
But this little Higgy went ham, pigging out on the Grapefruit League, smashing 7 dingers in 10 games, and the former offensive zero became a spring training hero.
Not bad for a guy named Kyle.
So here's to you, Kyle Higashioka. You put the pro in promotion.
Yankees catcher Kyle Higashioka. What, you thought that we were getting out of spring training without a spring training hero? Bitch, please.
I honestly thought that we were going to get out of spring training without one, and then Higgy hit like fucking 5 home runs in 2 games this week, and I was like, wow, this guy is literally popping off. So he snuck in right at the buzzer, another basketball reference for all you basketball fans out there, snuck in right at the buzzer and saved spring training hero segment. Because usually we do segments that are really funny, and then when the next year comes around, we're like, is it as funny? Do we have anything to do it? So I'm so glad that this one has stuck.
Well, this one was funny too, because it started like you, after he had started accumulating some home runs, you were like DMing me about it. And then at one point, I thought you were like half joking. You were like, oh, he's just like spring training hero. And I was like, listen, I don't know if you were kidding. We could actually do that. You're like, well, good news. I wasn't kidding. We should do that. Also, the Nets just beat the Knicks. Okay, that's all the basketball talk. I promise we're done. We're done. It's over.
And on that note, let's get right into the voicemails. Our first voicemail is from Quinn.
Hey, it's Quinn. Happy Moon Knight release date. I know you're really thrilled about that, Emily. Yeah, the Nationals suck. Throwing that out there, and it's the last episode that's airing before the season starts, right? Yeah, so that's gonna be fun. I don't really know why I called. I didn't really have anything to say today. Bye.
Quinn, you hit the nail on the head in that voicemail. Yes, this is the last episode before the season starts. Yes, the Nationals suck, and don't sell yourself short. I usually don't know what the fuck I'm going to say, and I get in front of the microphone every week, and we record a 50-minute show anyway, so you just sometimes got to go with it.
I was going to say, like, Quinn, you can think all you want that you called him with nothing to say, but if you're going to drop the Nationals suck, that's going to make the air, man. That's all you need.
Quinn, thanks for your call. Our next call is from Diego.
Hi, guys. John M. I'm back. It's Diego. Yes, I am from San Diego. As you remember, it's been a while. So M and John, they've been saying, hey, we need your takes. Okay, fine, let me give you a few things. So as we all know, the Padres have been trying to shop Eric Hosmer. And Eric Hosmer seems to be unhappy at the same time. And to be honest, if I was a player like Hosmer, where certain types of fans, let's say on Twitter especially, are giving him the hee-ho, like, we want you out, well, I wouldn't want to be in that kind of environment either. It's kind of the same with, like, in a workplace, as you guys may have experienced in the past. Do I think that Hosmer has lived up to his contract? No. Do I think he's a damn good player? Yes. Well, could he have a good 2022? Oh, I definitely think he can. I don't know what happened last year. I think the trade speculation got to him, and of course, seems like the Padres players wanted to run Jace Tingler out of San Diego, and they just basically said, we're going to quit. But there's no excuses with Bob Melvin and any other excuses for that matter. Even without the expanded playoffs, the Padres should make the playoffs. They have to. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of questions raised. Another thing I think is Michael Conforto. He's been a free agent for a long time, and I've been hoping that AJ Preller says, hey, let me give you a contract by maybe, let's say, tomorrow, before the day before the season. But, of course, Conforto would have to get some sort of workout in. Or maybe he's already working out, but, like, some sort of official workout or whatever. I think if he were to take a contract with the Padres, I agree with MLB Network Radio. You know, that's all they need is a left fielder, and Conforto is the guy. John will tell you, and Mets fans, Conforto is the guy who can really solidify a lineup from the left-handed side. I don't think he's going to ask for very much. It's going to have to be maybe a 1 or 2 year deal, around $15 million, like MLB Network Radio had stated the other day, and I completely agree. And lastly, I hope the Padres, I would hope for the division, but looks like the wild card is going to be more on the realistic side. Well, anyways, thank you for taking my call. Hope to hear from you soon, guys. Thanks, bye.
Diego, I'm so glad that you brought up Michael Conforto, because we skipped right over the week. We didn't have an episode last week, and that was when Boris, his agent, came out and said that Michael isn't getting any offers because he doesn't want them, because he got injured in January, and he wants to be healthy before he puts himself on the market. Yeah, okay.
Very convenient, Scott. Yeah, okay. I have to be honest. I am genuinely surprised that it's about to be opening day and Conforto is not with the team. That I did not see coming as a possible landing. Of all the landing spots for him, nowhere was not on my radar. I got to be honest.
And, like, it's weird for Boris to say it like that because obviously there is a lot to do with the fact that he's fucking hurt. And if his arm is hurt, then he's not really a great choice for an outfielder. And I don't know if he's really a good choice for a DH, and he doesn't want to be a DH. So, no. Like, why wouldn't they just say that? It's so weird to wait till now. It sounds fake waiting till now, to be honest. But that's the only explanation.
It completely does. And to bring it back to Hosmer, and I'm not just saying this because I'm still salty about 2015, but I don't care that he's unhappy. In fact, I wish him unhappiness. I hope he is always unhappy.
He sucks. No,
I hate him so much.
He's so bad.
But then if you remember, there was that scary trade rumor for a second where they were going to ship Dom Smith, that is, off to the Padres in return for Hosmer and Chris Paddock and somebody else. And I was going to flip my shit if that happened. Like, I'm so, you know what? I'll say this. On a personal level, I'm glad it didn't happen. On a podcast level, you should all be disappointed that it didn't happen because I would have been in rare form if that shit went down. Let me tell you.
So many Yankee fans, when those rumors were swirling on Twitter, were like, oh, the Mets are making this trade, but Cashman's not doing any, blah, blah, blah. And, like, it was the worst trade ever.
It's a terrible trade.
Why would that make Yankee fans like, oh, Cashman's not doing anything? If Cashman makes a fucking trade like that, I would take that as like a sign of distress that he's been kidnapped and someone should look for him and fucking rescue him. It was such a bad trade offer.
It's a distress signal.
Diego, we're glad you're back and thank you for calling. Our last call is from Nick.
So Max Scherzer against the Nationals tomorrow. No Yanks, because of course, why not? Angels, Astros should be good. No Twins. And then MLB.TV free game of the day tomorrow is the Guardians. And they just obviously locked up Jose Ramirez, but I think he could have gotten more. So that sucks for him. But I think the Yankees will extend Aaron Judge, if not within the next 2 days, like either right before the game on Friday, or after the game on Friday. And I'll say 7 years, $220 million. And John, what do you think the Mets will realistically accomplish this year? How many wins, and do they get a playoff spot? Emily, do the Yankees still get over 90 wins with this team?
Nick, I am as hopeful as I have been all offseason that the Yankees are going to get a deal done with Judge. I'm maybe foolishly optimistic that it'll happen within the next 24 hours since they just got this free day off before the season starts because the opener was pushed. And Judge says that he doesn't really want to do any of the negotiations while he's playing. So hopefully we'll see some fireworks tomorrow. And once again, you have provided us with the perfect segue because in this, the last episode that we are recording before the season starts, John and I have our end of the year predictions, our division winners, wild card, pennant, and World Series. So good thing we gave the segue earlier with like, we're not good at this. Don't expect much. Now right, we're like, because we're rolling it out.
The disclaimer has been said. You all know what you're getting into.
All right. Should we start? Should we go league by league?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We'll start with the American League. I have the Yankees winning the East, the White Sox winning the Central, and the Astros winning the West. I mean, I feel like the Central and the West, those two are locked up. I would be shocked if any other teams really made a good run for it. That's not to say that there aren't good teams in the West, because I predicted the Mariners, the Blue Jays, and the Rays to take up the three wildcard spots for the American League.
Pretty similar on my end. I 100% agree with you on the Central and the West. That's Chicago and Houston's divisions, respectively, to lose. I have the Blue Jays winning the East, and then my wild cards are filled out by the Yankees, the Twins, and the Rays. I know the Twins burned me last year, but they got Correa, so I'm taking another gamble.
And I know it's a bit homerish for me to pick the Yankees, but much like we were saying earlier with the underdog thing, like I really feel like there is a level of pressure that may be taken off of them to a certain extent even though that kind of doesn't make sense because I feel like there's more pressure because the division is way tougher. But I don't know. It's weird because, like, I feel like even when the Yankees are kind of shitty, they're still expected to win. So, like, now with other teams in the mix, I feel like that they're going to sneak in and they're going to surprise teams, especially teams and fans outside of the AL East that are expecting them to not even make the playoffs, which, in my opinion, is fucking crazy. The National League. Now, John, earmuffs for a second. I have the Braves winning.
La, 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 la.
I have the Braves,
la, 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 la.
The 2021 World Series champion Braves.
Oh, you made it worse when I stopped. What the fuck?
Winning the NL East, the Brewers winning the Central, the Dodgers winning the West, and the wild card spots, I have the Padres, the Mets, and the San Francisco Giants.
So for the National League, mine is very similar to yours, but better and more accurate. So I agree with you about the Central and the West. Brewers, Dodgers, that makes all the sense in the world. I don't really see that changing. I got the Mets doing the damn thing and winning the NL East, partially because I have to and partially because, well, you got to believe, right? For the wild card spots, I got that filled out with San Diego, San Francisco, and Atlanta. I don't know why I said city names instead of team names like I did for the American League, but hey, what are you going to do?
You guys get the gist.
Yeah, you get the idea.
The Central is once again just like a big fucking wet fart division. Sorry, Quinn. But every year I feel like we're like, this team is a shoo-in because the rest of the teams really blow.
Don't apologize to Quinn. His team literally just signed Albert Pujols. They get what they ask for.
I would love to see the Mets sneak in and take that division because I think that all the pressure is on the Braves. They added, their team has gotten better.
Yep.
Even though they got rid of Freddie, well, they didn't get rid of Freddie Freeman. He signed elsewhere, but Olsen is like Freddie Freeman, but fucking 4 years younger. And Acuna is going to be back, presumably for the entire season, knock on wood. So it is their division to lose, in my opinion.
All right, so we got our division winners, we got our wild cards. Let's get to it. What does this boil down to for you as far as a World Series matchup and who comes out on top?
This boils down to two teams, two of them.
As the World Series often does.
The New York Yankees winning the American League pennant for the first time since 2009. The Braves winning the National League pennant for the first time since 2021. And the Yankees winning the World Series for the first time this decade. Please, God, I don't ask you for much. Please, I just need this one time.
God, if you listen, help!
God, if you listen, help!
Literally.
All right, not too shabby. Well, for me, I have the Blue Jays taking the American League pennant. And I have, drumroll please, except not really, because you saw it coming a mile away, the New York Mets winning the National League pennant. And despite this being the purported nightmare scenario where unvaccinated Brandon Nimmo is unable to cross the Canadian border to play in the World Series, I still have the Mets coming out on top. More games than the Twins win. I didn't write down a prediction, but I got the Mets doing it. Why not, right? This is the season. I got a good feeling. I feel like I would be a bad Mets fan if I didn't go for them in a year where they might actually do well.
Like, the thing with predictions is, first of all, less than half the league actually goes for it. So there's True. A very small pool of teams to choose from. And when your favorite team is one of them that has been going for it and is going for it, I know it's homerish for us to choose them, but also, like, I feel like it's too not homerish. Like, we're trying to not be homers by, like, all right, well, let me choose another team, even though I don't actually feel right this way. Like, if the Yankees sucked or the Mets sucked and we were like, oh, the Yankees are going to win, then it's like, all right, fucking right, chill. But, like, basically, I want to be vindicated of being a super homer because I feel like I'm getting more and more homerish as time goes on.
That's true, yeah, because then what do? We do, like, the non-homer thing and then wind up being right. It's like, well, I extract no joy from this. This was unpleasant. I didn't want to be right. Just a quick reminder before we get out of here. The new schedule for the season is kicking in. We're going to be recording on Tuesdays. So if you want to call in, be sure to have your voicemails in by about 8 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. And you'll be able to hear the episodes on Thursdays as our new release day for the remainder of the season through the World Series before we retreat back to our old schedule and we have to come up with stuff on the fly. But no more of that for the rest of the season.
And that about wraps it up for Breaking Balls this week. We want to thank all of our listeners. You guys are awesome. And of course, our callers. Anyone else listening wants to get in on the fun, feeling brassy, give the Breaking Balls hotline a call. 631-820-7377. You can also find us on Twitter at BreakBallsPod. And we want to thank our amazing producer and engineer, DJ Bingington. You can find him on Twitter as well, at DJ Bingington. And we will catch you guys next week.